to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come again, come again. You have come once again. Come again. You've come once again to that place on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We talk about Jesus here. We remind each other and those who are listening, that he is the way, okay? He is the truth, and he is the life, okay? And this is what it's all about. It's about being able to share things that and talk about things that you won't necessarily get from the pulpit, from our churches. You may, at times, you may be very fortunate to be able to hear some of the topics that are shared there, but then on a regular basis, the likelihood is not going to happen. But that's why we have what we have here, to be able, a venue to be able to share with others so that you may understand and know that you are not alone in this world and in the challenges that we face on a regular basis. In the studio with me today to help deal with the topic at hand is Duke. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Good day.
Hey, are those new glasses?
No, they're my wife's. Stop it. Stop it.
I thought maybe you were trying to be mode or
no.
Whatever. Okay.
No, Elton John is not my friend. These are not my glasses.
I was going to say, they look pretty good on you, though.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, whatever. Okay. But that was very bold of you to say that. You could have given me another answer. And
I try not to give you bologna sauce any more than I have to.
Bologna sauce. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That reminds me so much of my upbringing. My dad used to fry bologna. Whenever he had to make dinner for me and my brother, it was always fried bologna.
Never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you haven't. Your kids probably, when they were a little late, probably got fried bologna, too.
No. Okay. We were Spam or Top Ramen, brother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Anyway.
Mine were closer to the... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Part of making it all work, brother.
There you go. So we have a topic today that you wanted to kind of bring up, and you want to expand on it a little bit?
Yeah, it just seems at times, even with our best efforts, that, I don't know, that it's tough to persevere. We kind of get tired, and I remember coming across Hebrews 12:1 that said, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I thought, wow. And it does feel like that sometimes. It feels, and I don't want to say race in the context of that verse, like there's a finish line and there's a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
Because as most all of us know, this journey is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yes.
And I think that's the wisdom and kind of the idea of Paul using the word, let us run that race. Because it takes some strength. It takes some training.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a good point. The fact is that it's not, like you had said, it's not a sprint. So it doesn't mean that we're just going to run for this period of time, this short period of time, which sprints usually are. You know, I sit there and I go, okay, it's a 40-yard sprint or a 100-yard sprint. Not that a 100-yard sprint, I'm going to make it as quickly as I used to. But the point being is that this is a marathon. This is something that we don't sit here and graduate at, or we finish and all of a sudden it's all taken care of. We actually move forward, continuing to run, but preparing ourselves for the long haul, in a sense, right?
Yes, and one of the things that struck me, Raul, and maybe some of the listeners, is that I can wrap my head around a finish line, 50-yard, 100-yard, whatever it is. And if I'm not a long-distance runner, I can condition for that, but I guess I kind of want to know when it's over. Yeah. I want to know when I've finished the race. I can mark it off my list, get my trophy,
mm-hmm.
whatever that looks like.
Yes.
I think part of what drew me to this was that there's not a suggested finish line.
Yes.
Then we get into the faith piece.
Right, right. Because it's all about faith. It's all about trusting in our Lord. And actually, as the next verse talks about, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, where it talks about seeking and seeing what he had actually put up with to be able to allow us to have salvation as a result of this relationship with him. You know, I did a little bit of a preview here of going to some other portions of the Bible here in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Okay, Paul says in here, and this is out of the NLT, maybe a little different in your translation, says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Okay, that's how verse 24 ends. So run to win. So this marathon, we're not just running it just to get done with it. We want to win, okay? Now, verse 25 goes on and says, "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, yes, we see that in the races, that the guy who's actually training and so on and so forth is going to get either, you know, a gold medal, or going to get a medal of some sort or a trophy. And that is, as Scripture talks about, everything's going to burn at the very end anyway. But ours is for an eternal prize, right?
It is. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our heads around that perspective, because we live, of course, in a culture of immediate gratification, plus
yes.
How are we wired, right? I want to be done with this. I'd like to mark it off my list if I can. But I'll tell you, one of the contrasting verses that had me thinking down this was 2 Timothy 4:7, where Paul says to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith."
Yes.
Okay, well, wait a minute. He finished the race? How does that work? And that's when I started to gain the perspective of not to be overexhausted, but I had to wrap my head around that I wasn't going to get to a place that I said, "I'm done running,"
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
and that the prize was worthy, and that I also learned in Hebrews 10:36, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Okay, now I've got something to run for, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of mm-hmm. what that showed me. Though I need the endurance. That's the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
No way around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so where do I get the strength along the way, Lord?
Yeah. I don't know for sure, but I think Paul, in that sense, when he was sent that letter to Timothy, because Timothy was his understudy, same as Titus and stuff,
yep.
that there was he was toward the end of his life.
Yes.
Okay. And where he's sitting there saying, "Hey, I've run the race. I've done all these things, and now I'm passing these on to you." He's handing the mantle off, in a sense, or passing
yes.
the baton, however you want
in
to look
at it. In that scripture, that's
yes.
exactly right, yeah. yes. And he'd come to his end. He knew he was going to be, you know, executed soon, I think.
Yes.
And so, absolutely. But the declaration of "I have finished the race" suggested that right up to the end, he had been running the race, and it didn't mean that he had completed something other than having been obedient to what Jesus had called him to.
Yes. You know, it's a lot of references that go back to, like, even in this one here, you had mentioned the ones in Timothy that you just talked about. In Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, mm-hmm. "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So in other words, what he's wanting us to do, what this race is about, is being able to let as many know about our relationship with Jesus Christ and how that salvation has changed my life and can change theirs. Okay.
Yes, and isn't that interesting you would say that, because my first thoughts of all this was self. I need stamina, endurance, I need stronger faith. It was all I. But you're right. What Paul was doing, he was an encourager, he was a teacher. Yeah. So, yeah, he's putting this out to everybody. He's not just saying, I, Paul, have been, you know, faithful and had commitment and discipline to live faithfully and all that. I believe that that's exactly, he's saying the race set before us requires us to join in with me.
Yes.
And it is, I think, that if we even go deeper, Raul, as we will as the show goes on, breaking down what does stamina, commitment, discipline, faith, what do those look like? Because the other thing that I noticed right off, so I could find a lot of scripture on what it was going to take.
Yes.
Get ready for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 1 Corinthians and Philippians, Timothy, they all talk about this never giving up, this marathon, the strenuous test. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, as an athlete prepares.
Right.
All right, well, that's great. What does the race really look like once I'm out there? What am I preparing for?
Well, one of the things is that, first off, I believe no matter what, even if you were a single person who's running this race, okay, because it's not really a team effort, but it is in a sense, because so often we need to seek the wisdom of others who have been through this race that can actually assist us and giving us some tips on what to look out for, or you know, what's the best way for me to be able to accomplish the goal here. You know, and especially with those who have actually coming toward the end of their race, they have opportunities to be able to share. And that's where we share, where the Bible talks about that there is wisdom in a multiple of counselors that we seek.
Yes.
Okay. Of being able, now it doesn't mean that you just go to everybody and ask them what do you think I should do? And no. You go to those who have actually, you see the fruit of their life. Okay. And you like what they have, and you maybe want what they have in their life, so you ask them how they got it. Now, the key is, are you willing to go through and do what they did to get where they're at, or are you just looking for a shortcut?
You know? Well, and that's one of the wonderful wisdoms of Scripture that gives me strength and endurance is there anybody else that's done this?
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, Hebrews 12:1 starts out in the passage with, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, mm-hmm. And then it goes on later to say the witnesses are believers that have run this race in previous scripture. So in other words, it's saying, here's examples of those that have been faithful in that.
Yes.
And I'm
yes.
like, okay, now I'm encouraged. You mean yes. I'm not the only one that's thinking this or feel like my legs are tired from running the race kind of deal? Huh? So undespite unimaginable oppression and cruelty that they talk about in Hebrews, a lot of these guys ran this race, of course, as Paul and the other apostles did, to the point of death.
Yes, yes. But, you know, so often as a result of running this race, now, if you talk to someone, now, I've never ran a marathon. I was always the sprinter type, okay?
Yep.
But I've never run a marathon. But I know people who are close friends of mine that have run marathons and what that takes. And they describe sometimes in the marathon itself that they actually lose themselves. They're not thinking about how far they need to go. They're watching their breathing, they're just moving forward, but mostly the breathing, okay? Because that, he said, my legs are strong enough to be able to get me through. They're going to be uncomfortable at times, but I just keep moving them, but I make sure that my breathing is correct, okay? That's a nice tip to be able to know that if I can just, you know, not, you know, it's not about breathing heavily or anything, but it's nice and calmly in a sense. My point being is that they actually end up getting to that place of realizing that they are enjoying, not necessarily enjoying, but they're taking in everything around them as they're going, okay? They know what it is that they need to do, Okay? And that's part of what it is that we're called to do in our race, is to be able to give away, to be able to be a reflection of Jesus Christ to all of those around us, all of those that we go through this day, because this is our marathon, okay? We're not actually laboring in a sense of moving our legs to keep, you know, going forward, but in our life, each and every day is part of our marathon. So what am I doing this day? For every person that I cross in my path with, okay, or that they cross my path, am I being reflections of Jesus' love toward them? Am I being forgiving? Am I being helpful? Am I being considerate? Am I being kind? Am I being willing to help if necessary in certain situations? These are all the things that what this thing is all about.
That's the landscape, no doubt. And you may bring more understanding to me, but as we look at the subject and we look at what Paul is saying and what I said earlier about the steadfastness, and we've mentioned the conditioning of an athlete for mm-hmm. this. Is Paul also telling us that we need to prepare on a daily basis and we need to be, working out?
Well, that's part of the discipline that needs to take place.
And if we don't work out like Paul is suggesting, then we may not be able to run quite the race?
These are all like metaphors that are being given to us. That, you know, he's not talking about us putting on, you know,
actual running shoes,
right. And putting on shorts and getting ready to get going. This is a metaphor of what our life is to look like and be like. Because if we look at it as a sprint, hurry up and get done to win and be done. Now I'm done. Now I can get on with my life. No, this is your life. The life of, it's a marathon. It is a race.
From birth to death.
Yes. Okay. And in seeking the Lord. And these things that we need, whether it be the discipline, we need to have faith. Mm-hmm. We need to believe that those who said that you're in a marathon, that they're correct in what they're saying. And I have to believe that. So that's where I believe as what Paul is letting us know is that we need to believe in what it is that we're doing. See, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what this really looks like. How do we accomplish this goal? And believe it or not, it's in the very next verse. It lets us know right off the bat what it is that we need to do to be able to accomplish this goal of running this marathon. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
But I'm not defined by mistakes that I've made, because God says of me, I am not who I was, being remade, I am new. I'm chosen and holy, and I'm dearly loved, I am new, I am new.
Wow. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul in the studio, and we're talking about this marathon race of continuing on that Paul talks about in the book of Hebrews, and that he sent in this teaching of letting us know that we are in a marathon. This is not a sprint, this relationship with Jesus Christ and what our time is on this earth and what it is, what it would simulate in a sense, and how to be able to take care of that sort of thing. And this is what I love about when we get into Bible studies and everything. You know, I remember when I first became a believer, I had an NIV 84, that's what I used. And then after a while, after I started getting involved in other Bible studies with other men, I started hearing some of the other translations that men used. And I started to talk to some of those who'd been down the path before I, you know, what do you do in your Bible study? And so often that, you know, I learned about a parallel Bible, how important that is or how easy that was. Today's world, because we have internet and you have so many things accessible to you that are Christian Bible studies, that it comes up so quickly to be able to, a parallel Bible is, I still like the paper. I still like going through and fumbling the paper and marking it up and everything. But anyway, my point being is that when I end up reading in different translations, will help me give me a better perspective of what it is the verse is actually saying. Yes, I can go to my Strong's and the King James and being able to pull up what those words say. But in the newer translation, if they stay right within that realm, it is okay. Believe me, I don't, they're, anyway, so every translation, I believe, is the Word of God, is there to help us to be able to understand more of Him. And in doing so, in Hebrews 12:1 in the ESV, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us." Now, in the NLT, New Living Translation, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that is so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Now, it just gives me a little more clarification, saying, mm-hmm. Okay, yes, sins that trip us up. And as men, man, we're tempted all the time, are we not?
Yes, and there's another, those translations have a common thread, and they use the word weight.
Yes.
Now, here we're runners. Mm-hmm. What does a runner do?
Oh.
the lightweight clothing, yes. the shoes that weigh half an ounce, right?
Yeah.
And what is he saying? Weight and sin are the two common denominators in mm-hmm. both those verses. So sin is a weight, mm-hmm. weights us down for that race, does it?
Absolutely.
Not?
Yeah. And that's what it does in our lives. The yes. more often that we are involved in sin. Now, we're going to be tempted, and we're all going to fall short. We are going to sin. You may end up lusting or looking at somebody, a woman too long or something, or you may end up lying at one point, thinking that you needed to, I didn't want to tell them that I was, you know, this is why I'm late for work or whatever. So you tell a little lie, right? But it's still a lie. These are the things that we end up going back to the Lord asking for forgiveness for, and then repenting and trying not to do those things, okay? But we always fall short. Not saying that we're not good at that, but we get caught off guard sometimes, okay?
So when we begin to get weary or caught off guard,
yep.
Where do we go?
Well, you know, and that's where we're going to go, and I can give that answer off to you. And you know what the answer is on
I
that
think
one.
So.
But the fact is that what it looks like for us as men, that's where we get such challenges. We end up... There's an acronym that we used to use we use in recovery. It's called HALT. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, those four signs that are taking place in your life, if that's happening in your life, you need to take care of those things. If you're hungry, you need to eat to be able to take care of that, okay? That is necessary. If you're angry, you need to take care of that. You need to maybe pray about it and see about why it is that, why am I so angry about this? Why is it harming me? Is it, you know, what is it? And maybe even talking with somebody else about it and having them pray with you about that sort of thing. If you're lonely, Man, when we're lonely, that's one that kind of creeps up on men, because men have a tendency of trying to isolate anyway.
Yes.
And so when we're lonely, we miss that sort of thing. And if we're married and still lonely, we look at our wives, why are you not taking care of me? What is it? What is wrong with you? That's where we usually go, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of what is wrong with us, okay? And if we're tired, man, who's not exhausted at the end of a work day or a day where you've been very busy and taking care of the business at hand and you're tired, and then you try to make a decision or somebody asks for you to do something, you go, no, I just don't have time for that. And then they try to convince you to do that. It's usually a loved one, right? Then you end up getting into a dispute or disagreement and et cetera, et cetera. But halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. If I can watch myself in those areas and stay clear of that halt, I'm probably going to be able to get through the day fairly decently without having to step on anybody's toes or make my life even worse.
And we know how to do that. As you're saying that, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of those times when I am physically tired, mm-hmm. and I sit down and I think, I don't think I've had enough water today. Or you know what, I didn't eat well.
Yes.
Or, you know how you get some people get the shakes if they skip a meal?
Yeah.
So you're right. And we know in our own minds, we're saying halt, aren't we? We're saying, okay, mm-hmm. I better go get some water or some crack or something down me.
Yes.
Because we know it's affecting what it is we're trying to do.
Our decisions and our reaction to everything and just how things are. And even that, of sitting there and realizing that, you know, part of that is seeking the Lord. If we ask him, what should we do? If we truly ask him, you don't think he's going to tell you? He's your loving father. Get something to eat, Duke. Duke, just let it go. Don't let that person bother you. Just let it go. They had a rough day themselves. Just forgive them, and you keep moving forward and taking care of business. Duke, if you're lonely, just give Raul a call. Just see how his day is going. Guaranteed, he'll probably end up praying with you before you get off the phone with him. Okay? And Duke, if you're tired, just pull off the side of the road here. Give me 5 minutes alone. Just close your eyes and just think of me. In 5 minutes, we'll get back on the road, then you can feel a little bit more refreshed. Whatever that is. See, the Lord will always give us and remind us of what it is that we need. He's not there to confuse us or to send us down the pit. He's there to help us.
But he is indeed.
We got to be willing to take the time to do that sort of thing.
Well, and he's gifted us with the regulatory mechanisms to know.
Yes.
When we're not getting what we need for the right kind of nourishment, including scripturally.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. So anyway, so we talked about how the solution to this in verse 1 of how we end up doing this sort of thing. We gave a tip here on certain things. But truly, in my NLT, and I'll read that in verse 2, okay, Hebrews 12:2. To be able to, I'll go the last line that it says in my NLT from verse 1, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Then the start of 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So here's one who went through everything that we are going through. We hear it. We talk about it. That Jesus has gone through the same temptations that we have gone through. He's even the ones not only written, but the ones that are unwritten. That we've endured. He's gone through every one of them, and he never sinned through that.
You mean Paul is revealing the steroids to us in Jesus. Is that it?
There you go. In a sense.
Amen. Yeah.
But the fact is that we keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
See, our focus has to be on him, because this is why we have life today. Not just surviving or getting through, but we have life today because we are seeking Jesus, and he lets us know because we're asking him, Father, how do you want me to go through this? Should I say yes or no? Is this the right time? Is this your time? Is this the time you want me to say this sort of thing? When I have conversation with him, when I'm abiding in him, he's abiding in me. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the life that we have. This is the race, okay? This is that marathon. He's the one that gives us everything that we need to keep moving forward and so on and so forth, as long as we stay focused on him.
Yeah, so the great wisdom in Paul's, in just that one verse that starts with cloud of witnesses and then lets you know the ultimate witness being Jesus to follow that example.
Yes.
And everything in between. So when we keep focused on Jesus in all that we do, it's that relationship isn't just there to be there when we're just extra tired, where I pull
right.
Jesus off the shelf.
Right.
It's to be keep my eyes fixed on him every moment.
Yes.
Only then am I going to receive the kind of nourishment that I need. What if I'm not able to do that so well?
Well,
you got a coach on the team here, brother?
Well, I think that a big part of it is, yes. I think part of that is back to this cloud of witnesses, the people who are in our lives, those who have been doing the same thing. Our focus is on Jesus. The fact is, see, he tells us that we are to be holy because he is holy. He says, you be perfect because I am perfect.
Yes.
He created us as an eternal being. We are spirit. We are created by spirit. God is spirit, okay? And we are like him, okay? So if we are like him, why wouldn't we want to go to him who created us to be able to guide us, okay? So, but if we come to know him through the word of God, we read about Jesus, we read about the prophecy about Jesus, what the Old Testament says, we read about in the New Testament about him being here and then how he's going to come once again, okay? And we think about his life on this earth. He was a man in flesh. He is God, the deity of God. He is God, okay, but he was man in flesh. And he endured much more than you and I have ever had to endure.
Oh, man, yes.
I mean, not only, I mean, with, now if we read the scriptures and read where he taught, and then people tried to stone him, tried to kill him, tried to take him out. They ridiculed him. They said, get out of here. We don't want you around. He had followers who followed him, and then all of a sudden said, no, we don't want to follow you anymore. We don't like what you're doing. And so many left at that time. And anyway, he put all these things that he was sharing. He did it all in humility, okay? And yet, he's the one that we are to emulate. He's the one that we are to be looking at and saying, I want to be just like him, okay? Now, mind you, nobody has arrested me and scourged me. Nobody's whipped me with chains and sticks, and nobody's attempted. I haven't shed blood for any of my belief in the Lord like Jesus did, okay?
Yes, and so much of what Jesus emulated it to us, or what I see is the how, and this is the wisdom in part of what Paul says, is how do we get stronger? That is, I don't always want to be wiped out from the race. So if we follow the cloud of witnesses, we follow Christ's example, we embrace what Paul was, where he was heading us, it's really about getting stronger and I guess marking endurance in your life. Through those experiences, and then being able to recognize the tired runner, the brother next to you, that you can,
right.
You know, lock arms with the guy and give him a little bit of a leg up in that run.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. You know, and once again, I'm going to keep pointing toward Scripture, toward the Word, because there are certain things that we need to understand or to come to realize about Jesus, okay? And in Hebrews 2, verse 9 and 10, it says this in my NIV here. Let me just get to it. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. See, he's a human
yes.
being. Okay,
yes.
We were created a little lower than the angels. Okay, so here he says it once again. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So why wouldn't we want to follow him? to be like him. Because, yes, he was humbled. He was brought to death. Have we not been brought to death in our own lives at times?
Yes.
To realize that this is not the way I need to be living?
Yes.
And as a result of that, we have an opportunity to have a relationship that is a life that has been redeemed, goes and reconciled, okay? And then now we have salvation, that hope that we can be just like Christ and that we have a purpose in life. And it isn't what I thought it was. It's not about getting the brass ring. It isn't about winning, having all this money and being able to have all these friends. No, it's about being able to do what he wants us to do, which is truly letting others know about him, not only in our words, but in our actions.
Amen. Okay? And it provides hope. Boy, if we don't have that, the light in the end of the tunnel, I guess, the knowing that the witnesses existed and that we have faith and belief in that.
Right.
That's, I guess, what gives a lot of athletes and myself the energy to, I guess, to get back up, pull up the bootstraps, like they say, and say, okay, Lord, what does your word have for me today that strengthens me in the way that I need to?
Yes.
And
yes.
If without that hope, Raul, and knowing where we can go for that hope, there's strength in itself right there.
Yeah.
That begins to fuel that.
Yes. Let's take our last break, and then we'll come back, and we'll continue on talking about this solution to running this marathon, which is keeping our focus on Jesus and what's going to be taking place in our lives as a result of it, and what are some of the challenges that we're going to face in this marathon. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Lord, don't let these worries get the best of me. Oh, I believe that you're still here with me. 'Cause you meant what you said when you said you'd never leave. So carry me, carry me, carry me now. From my sinking sand to your solid ground.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we have a few minutes left here. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about here during the break while you guys were listening to the commercials, Duke, you know, we talked about how this thing is a marathon and like a relay race in a sense, okay? Adding a little something to it, you know, that baton is something that you pass on to someone else. You know, when you're if you're leading in your family and you're leading, it doesn't have to be a ministry, it doesn't have to be a church, it doesn't have to be a body of people, it could be just your family. You pass on that baton to your children, okay? That's really what you're doing. You pass it on to them so that they can continue the race when you're no longer around, in a sense. But this, you know what that reminds me of when we talk about this sort of thing? And I know this is a secular thing, but the Olympics, okay? Before the Olympics start, wherever it's at, they have the Olympic flame that they run from country through country that are all involved in the Olympics, okay? The majority of the countries in the world. And that flame goes to each and every country, and they put it on a, you know, it's a light, and they have runners or people that go through that country to represent the light of the Olympics that
yes.
is coming through.
Yeah.
And that is that not what we are to be doing, carrying the light of Jesus and then passing it on to the next person in the next country. And
amen. Well, that's part of, I think, the what gives you more strength in the in this race and in this marathon is we are called to a place to give it away.
Yes,
you bet. So even as we're running our race. It's a delight to give it away because what does it do? It gives us more strength because we just strengthen somebody else. It's a,
And so often we end up, we look at that sort of thing. And I remember looking at that before. I'm saying, oh, man, why are they carrying that light from country to country? Look at these people all excited to carry a little flame of the Olympics going through. And really what it was, if I get real honest with myself, how do they pick those people? I would like to carry the light here in the United States. Why wouldn't they ask me? Well, the point is that in this marathon that we are in with Christ, we are the ones carrying the light.
Amen.
We are already chosen to do that.
Yes.
And all we have to do is be willing to do that sort of thing, and then we pass it on to whomever it is that is going to be behind us.
Let's not be deceived, too. I used to think that I couldn't pass that baton on unless I had somehow won a gold medal.
Yes, yes.
And I learned even from others that in those areas of training that I was having a challenge, let's say in my marathon, that it's made up of a lot of different supports. Mm-hmm. And I might receive some wisdom from somebody in an area that I might not have from another.
Yes.
So amen for that.
You know, one of the things in this marathon, as we were talking about, keep trying to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, okay? And I just want to suggest that in Hebrews 12, if you read, we only went through a few verses, but make the time to read the rest of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It talks about the discipline and how important that is and how we end up not so much the discipline of doing what we're doing, but being disciplined by the Lord. Okay,
yes.
And how much that means to us. So I just wanted, that's a little side note on what, before we wrap things up here shortly. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, 4:12, it says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad for these trials. Make your partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." Okay? So, this is no different than here. Peter talks about it here. James talked about it there. Consider it pure joy when you go through challenges of many kind. Okay? And because we are to know that the Lord has gone through trials when he was here. And so often as human beings, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a wuss when it comes down. I don't like pain. I don't like discomfort. I almost want to give in quicker than what I see others would be willing to do. And I am. I need to just, in a sense, I need to man up. I need to Christ up is really what it comes down to it, you know?
Yes, and the nugget that you read there in 1 Peter 4, I'll tell you, the first parts of Peter in chapter 2 and chapter 4, he's preparing us for that later chapter by telling us that that we will persevere by maintaining a Christ-like attitude prior to those trials as he leads into those later ones. So there it is again, Christ-like attitude, using Jesus, having him be the focus. Having, what would Jesus do? How do I navigate through this? And praying and going to the Word to do that. Amen.
Yes. And, you know, so often when we always encourage, you know, I used to always look at my mentors or those who they weren't, I didn't, you know, title them, "You're my mentor." I just sought them out all the time. And they were always encouraging me to get into the Word. And I thought, okay, so then I just get. But the more that I got into it, the more I realized that the Word was encouraging me in what it is I needed to do. We did something on Tuesday night that the Lord had reminded me that I needed to not only receive it myself, but to receive for other men to receive it,
about
being strong and courageous, you know, and continuing on and realizing that, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord,
yes.
Okay, as Joshua says, okay?
Yes.
But here in Hebrews chapter 10, I just want to just finish it up here, or this part of it anyway. And it reminds me anyway, it said, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Okay? And as a result of that, we just sit there and realize everything that is in here is encouraging, but He also gives us the promise saying that you will receive this, you know?
Yes.
So anyway.
Patient endurance. I love that.
Yeah.
That's another form of halt, actually, is mm-hmm. it not?
Yeah.
It's saying, yeah. And we know, like we said earlier, we know when things are not, let's say, joyful and abundant.
Yes.
And of course, we also know that the trials are ones that we embrace,
mm-hmm.
and we know that we can go to Jesus as the perfecter, the ultimate marathon winner,
yeah.
as our example.
Yeah.
In between, brother, what I love most is being able to go to other brothers.
Yes.
And I guess have the courage to do that, because when I'm tired, sometimes I do just want to figure it out myself
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and go, it must be me. I must be doing yes. something wrong yes. instead of being humble enough to reach out to others. And we're all running the race, man.
Yeah.
We're all running it. So you'd mentioned even earlier about reaching out to others around you.
Yes.
Man, that's what we got to do.
And it's so often, and no matter what church you go to or where it is that you, on a regular basis, if they go to your senior pastor and ask, do you have a men's ministry? Do you have where men gather? Is there a Bible study for men? Is there, and nothing wrong with co-ed stuff, but I will tell you this, as a man, there are things that men will share with each other that more openly than they would if there were women around. And it's appropriate that way. So there are things that we need to know that we're not alone in this walk. And in doing so, we just have to be willing to start running that race. And part of that is seeking those who have been there before.
Yes.
And take their wisdom and counsel. Good topic, brother.
Yeah.
Jesus is always a good topic, isn't he?
Hard to go wrong.
There you go. How Amen. About you pray for our brothers yeah. who are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would minister the hearts and minds of those men that are weary, or those that are just beginning that race and just not getting traction, that you would put people, places, words, other things in their path to encourage and strengthen them so that they may run this race with the rest of the team. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.